The Hebrew Bible lesson for today is Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10, and can be found on page 623 in the Hebrew Bible, and can be found on page 811 in the large print Bible. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make the feeble knees, and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This, my friends, is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now we will read together a responsive reading, the Canticle of Mary, found on page 199 in your hymnal. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant. From this day all generations shall call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is the name of the Lord, whose mercy is on those who fear God from generation to generation. The arm of the Lord is strong and has scattered the proud in their conceit. God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. God has come to the aid of Israel, the chosen servant, remembering the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever. Amen.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Can be found on page 217 in your New Testament section of your pew Bible, or on page 281 in the large print edition. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 10. And if you're reading the large print edition, a little bit further on, page 13 in the large print edition. So Matthew 11, verses 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, I want you to think about all of the different voices you heard this morning in Scripture. Think about all the characters surrounding this larger Christmas story, all the people who populate it. What do Isaiah, Luke, James, and Matthew all have in common? And then, what do all of them and Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah and the angel Gabriel and the unnamed angels and the shepherds and the wise men all have in common? I'll give you a hint. This amazing commonality also extends to John the Baptist. Give up? Well, each and every one of these persons was a messenger for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. Dictionary.com defines a messenger in several ways. A person who carries a message or goes on an errand for another, especially as a matter of duty or business. A person employed to convey official dispatches or to go on other official or special errands. A herald, a forerunner, or harbinger. Think about that. Isaiah, Luke, James, and Matthew, Mary, and Elizabeth, and Zechariah, and the angel Gabriel, and the unnamed angels, and the shepherds, and the wise men, and John the Baptist. Each of them played an amazing part in the revelation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Each of these persons was a messenger for the Messiah. When you stop and consider that for a moment, you'll soon realize that the angels who spoke to Zechariah and to Mary and to the shepherds in the fields each had a direct line of communication with God Almighty. Likewise, Mary bore her message in a manner that can never be duplicated by any woman or man ever again. But all the other people I named were regular people just like you and me. And truth be told, Mary was herself a regular person, by her own estimation, a lowly servant, who was chosen by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to give birth to the Messiah himself. Last Sunday, my esteemed colleague, Reverend Daniel Claywitter, delivered a wonderful sermon entitled "Prepare the Way of the Lord." He reminded us that we are all descendants of a holy heritage. The prophet Isaiah, John Wesley, Francis Asbury, the early deaconesses, all of whom shared the vision of God's kingdom, just as we do. People who did their part in order to bring about the realization of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Daniel reminded us of the words of John the Baptist, who called us to bear fruit worthy of repentance and to prepare the way of the Lord. Let me quote directly from Daniel's sermon. Notice that these are action phrases. We are called not just to repent of our sins, as we do every Sunday here at Burns UMC, but we are called to bear fruit worthy of our confession. It is not, thankfully, our task to bring about the complete liberation and fulfillment of all creation, but we are called to prepare the way of the Lord, to make ready, by our own faithful discipleship, a community and a world in which the kingdom of God can grow like a mustard seed to its final fruition. Like John the Baptist, our task is not the full harvest, but the planting. Wonderful words, Deacon Daniel. And like John the Baptist, each of the persons we read about this morning and each of the persons who wrote these Bible selections were, in her or his own rights, a messenger for the Messiah. Each of these persons was called to bear fruit worthy of repentance and to prepare the way of the Lord. And guess what? Each and every one of us is called to be a messenger for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In your thoughts, in your prayers, in your words, in your actions, in your faith, you are called to be a messenger for the Messiah. Think about that. Pray about that, because it's a very high calling. And here's just one very basic and simple example for you. During this wonderful time of Advent, as we approach December 25th, I'm advising you to regularly wish those around you Merry Christmas. Now, the politically correct among us may well warn us that this is insulting to those who are not Christians. We ought to say Happy Holidays instead, they will tell you. To that I say, bah humbug. In all my years of offering the blessing of Merry Christmas, I cannot remember anyone once being insulted. And for that matter, I've never had anyone express insult when they saw that I wear a cross around my neck. I am certainly not ashamed, but rather blessed to be known for what I am, a disciple of Jesus Christ. When I offer a genuine Merry Christmas, I'm simply hoping that this person will share the peace and joy of knowing Jesus Christ as I do, and will share with me the vision of the kingdom of God. And I believe that this is one small example of being a messenger for the Messiah. This messenger call is certainly not limited to Christmas time either. Every moment of every day throughout your life, in your thoughts, in your prayers, in your words, in your actions, in your faith, you are called to be a messenger for the Messiah. Am I aiming too high for a regular person like you and me? I don't believe so, and certainly not according to Jesus. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. My friend, you are called to be a messenger for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.